I'm Matthew McCabe. Welcome to Miracle Voices. Each episode, we will be delving into stories of forgiveness, healing, and transformation that have come about from integrating the principles of the book, A Course in Miracles. If you want to learn more about A Course in Miracles, visit www.acim.org. If you'd like to visit the Miracle Voices site, please go to www.miraclevoices.org. If you feel inspired to make a love offering, please visit us at miraclevoices.org/donate. All donations go to support the work of the Foundation for Inner Peace, the publisher of A Course in Miracles. Now here's your program. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Miracle Voices. This is your co-host, Matt McCabe. I'm here with my co-host, Tam Morgan. Tam, how you doing today?
Doing well today. Glad to be back after a week off.
Oh, good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good. I'm ready. And I'm ready for our guest, Michelle Costa. Michelle, welcome to Miracle Voices.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Michelle, where are you sitting in the world today?
I am in Sherwood, Oregon, which is about 20 minutes south of Portland.
Okay. Do you get to eat voodoo donuts every once in a while?
You know, I've never had voodoo donuts.
No way.
My kids have brought them home, but I've never had one.
They're pretty incredible. Yeah. Well, Michelle, we're really glad to have you on. Let's just start with how A Course in Miracles came into your life. Can you share that?
Yeah. Long and winding story, as most are. I was 15 and my mother decided to take us to a Unity church. And I was in the teen group and they were reading Love is Letting Go of Fear by Gerald Jampolsky. So that was my first dip into the principles of the Course in Miracles. Pretty light, but at that age, it was a beautiful thing. And then also my stepfather at the time had the daily lessons on cards in this little card deck in this box on his dresser. And I used to sneak in there and pull out a card and read it. Mm-hmm. So something was pulling me there. And then fast forward to 1992, I went through a major breakup of a 5-year relationship and was angry and distraught. And Marianne Williamson's book came in, Return to Love. And I used a prayer or a mantra that she had when she talks about forgiveness and a relationship that she was working on forgiving. And I use that mantra, which is just basically, I forgive you and I release you to the Holy Spirit. And I use that mantra every time I thought of him, every time I happened to see him. And it worked miracles. Hmm. I was able to release that. And then in around 2000, I moved to Minnesota. My husband got a job there. And I had two very small children, and I went to another Unity church looking for, you know, connections. And I met a woman that had also had young children, and she asked me if I had heard of A Course in Miracles. And I said, yeah. She says, well, I have a study group. You want to join? And I'm like, sure. So that started my actual studies of the Course in Miracles. And we studied it every week together and didn't understand any of it. And it was real complicated to me, but it still worked its wonders in my life. And that's where my first forgiveness came about. So that's, and since then, of course, of Miracles has been a part of my life. And so that's the story.
That's great. It's so the essence of what I've told so many people, including my partner who I do it with, which is you don't have to believe in it or to understand it for it to work.
Yeah.
Like it teaches you what it is if you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us knows. I mean, there's the lesson, you know, that we do not understand anything. We don't know what anything means.
It's I'm glad that you don't have to understand it, because this acorn was pretty thick. You know, you can just marinate in it.
Yeah.
The ego wants to understand, and you know that's not what we need. So it just,
It's kind of like getting shot with an arrow. Like the ego's like, how did I get shot with this arrow? And it's like, let's get the arrow out. No, I want to know how I got shot by the arrow. It's like, I need to know first before we can pull it out.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah.
So yeah. Michelle, why don't you mentioned your forgiveness. Can you just go ahead and jump into your forgiveness story? So we'd love to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I have, you know, I mean, the major one that really shifted everything in my was happened this summer. But the first one was with my husband, and we had three small kids, and you know, life was crazy, and as it gets when you have three small children, and you know, you start all the old parenting stuff from your parents starts to come up, and you know, it gets hard. And I was really, really unhappy. And of course, I was blaming it on my husband. And we were on the verge of a divorce. We were getting ready to start the paperwork. And I was involved in the Unity Church still, and had just been coming home from a Sunday school teacher retreat. And it was snowing. I just remember it like it was yesterday. It was snowing. It was dark. You know, I was just, and I was listening to some CDs at the time based on A Course in Miracles. I don't remember what I was listening to at all. But it came to me that I was projecting my father onto my husband, and that I was not seeing my husband clearly at all. And I was taking my parents' relationship, which ended in divorce, and trying to work it out with my husband. And it just came, I mean, it felt like a revelation. It just came all of a sudden. And it was like, oh my God, I don't even know who my husband is. I've just been projecting this, my dad and my mom, you know, onto the whole thing. And I was like, wow. And so I went home immediately and said, I do not want a divorce. And I love you. And things shifted dramatically.
So there was an instant shift right then on the spot. Like you decided to change your mind about this story.
Yep.
And he trusted your process.
Absolutely. He's not spiritual in it at all, you know. I'm the one that does that, but he has it in him, you know, it's almost, as if it's natural for him. Mm-hmm. He forgave me too. And that was huge, because boy, I was awful.
So you say you don't know your husband then. It's kind of a shocking realization. It's like that movie, The Sixth Sense, where it's like, wait a minute, I've superimposed a relationship from my past onto this relationship. So it's this new kind of brand new thing. So how do you move forward from there? What did the relationship look like?
We did get some counseling, and that was really helpful. And we just, you know, moved forward with just learning to trust again. You know, and to, you know, realize that love is there, and to talk about it, you know, and to really be authentic with each other and transparent. And it was, it's every year it gets better and better. So,
The resentments and things, do they circle, come back a few times for forgiveness again, or was that they gone, the kind of eject button been pressed?
Yeah, those are gone. You know, there's, of course, there's always little things that come up, right? And, but we know how to get back to that, that place of love.
You, Michelle, you just gave me an insight into a word, and I make up insights into words. Sometimes they actually aren't there etymologically speaking, if that's even a word. But I'm taking notes as you speak, and hearing that basically what happened with you, things became more transparent, and it really it made me smile, because it's like you've moved past the parent. The clarity is to move past the parental imposition that was put on there. And so now you're both in a transparent place.
I'm so grateful, you know, and our relationship was just deepened.
It continues to, as you say.
It's been a lot of years. That was 2008. And I always encourage people, you know, you're going to go through those times, and if you can get past them, your relationship is just so much stronger. But you have to get past that, you know, the bumps in the road.
Yeah, you have to be willing to get through them to get past them.
Yeah. To set down your ego, I guess, you know, and how you think things should be. I mean, there's all these ideals, right?
Yeah. Now, Michelle, do you get all the way to the point where, you know, as it says in the course, like, what I thought my brother did not occur? It sounds like you had a shift in perception for sure. From fear to love, but do you feel like he got all the way back to, and like, wait, this hasn't even occurred at all?
Well, at that time, I didn't understand that. No. But this summer I had another huge forgiveness, and
Tell us about that.
So my relationship with my mother has always been very tense. I'm the oldest, and her original family, there was a lot of pain and suffering. And so, you know, she was bringing that, you know, forward into her life, and it was hard. And so I felt, being a really the oldest and a real sensitive person, I felt like her moods and her anger was because of me. And that's what children do. They don't understand that mom's got issues and, you know, stressed and whatever. Children think that everything's about them. So I took that on early on in my life, and tried to behave in a way that my mom wouldn't get angry. And so I put up these walls of separation. Can't upset my mother, so I need to behave in a certain way. So there's just a lot of unworthiness that came out of all that throughout my whole life. And my mom and I would be together, and we were always fighting. So it was a really tense relationship, and I hated her. You know, she was supposed to love me, and I didn't see any love. So I avoided her most of my life. I moved away at 18 and never came back. I mean, I did, you know, for holidays and this and that. We'd be together for a few days, and then, you know, then there'd be a big blow up and I'd leave, and I'm never going back there. And, you know, she's a bad mother and I don't love her and all that good stuff. And so we lived in Minnesota for 15 years or so. And then my husband got a job in Portland, which is 30 minutes or so away from my parents. And I knew that it was going to be time to heal that relationship. And at the time, you know, I was studying The Course in Miracles, and I thought, well, it's possible, but not probable. So we've been living here for about 7 years or so, and I go visit my mom and stuff, but it was always tense. And I was always on edge. And this summer, my mom has dementia. She knows who people are. She just has her short-term memories, not so good, but she's not. She can't drive. She can be left alone for short periods and stuff. So she's not super, super bad. But my stepfather lovingly takes care of her. And he had to have a quadruple bypass this summer. It was an emergency. And I get a call, you know. And between the two of them, there's six kids. But I knew, you know, with my circumstances that I'm not working and I'm closer than most of everybody else, and that I would be the one that would need to go and take care of my mother while he was getting better. And I was so angry. And I remember I was sitting there doing the dishes and I was just like stunned at the anger. I'm like, oh my God, I hadn't felt this anger like this in a long time. I mean, it just stopped me in my tracks. I was just like, oh my God, I don't want to go there. I can't go there and spend time with my mother more than 2 days. You know, I think I'd go crazy. And I just felt this hatred. It's like, I don't want to give up my summer. I had plans, you know. I wanted to go hiking and camping and do all these fun things. And now I'm going to have to go spend the summer, you know, a good chunk of time with my mother. And that's the last thing in the world that I wanted to. Yeah, I'm a real good course student, right? So this anger just, oh, it was so intense. And then I realized that this anger is how I feel about myself when I'm depressed. And this hatred that wasn't about my mother, it was about me. It was how I felt about myself. And in that moment, it just made me realize maybe I'm not seeing this clearly. Maybe I'm wrong about all this. And then with that clarity in that moment, I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong. And then I was like, well, maybe I can go. Maybe I can test this out, you know, to see maybe I'm wrong. And I'm not seeing it clearly. So with that curiosity and that willingness, I was able to go and say, okay, I will come and be there for you. And with no real way out, we had some car issues. I have a teenage son still in the house and another son, and we didn't have enough cars to go around because one of them had died. And one of the cars. And so, you know, my son drops me off and they live way out in the country. And I'm like, oh my God. I always said I would never go there without a way to escape. So there I was. And with dementia, at least with my mother, it has brought out like some of the really bad, the worst habits, you know, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. And she lashes out at people. She doesn't have any filter. I mean, she pretty much just says what she thinks. And so it was pretty tense. And but I was able to look at it and say, okay, am I wrong about what's going on here? And to take a deep breath and know that I don't need to do anything and that I can observe and just watch the ego. I watch the ego in me want to react, and I watch my mother's ego. And I realized, wow, it's just ego. And it's not who she is. And every time something came up, I was like, I need to do nothing. I don't need to react. I don't need to believe my thoughts about it. I don't need to believe my mother's thoughts, because they were coming out of her mouth. And it was pretty harsh at sometimes. And over the time, I was able to let that go and see the love that was there. And she would get really angry. And I just realized, you know, she's calling for love, right? I'm calling for love in this relationship. And I would go up and I'd say, Mom, I love you, and give her a big hug. And she would melt. And she would look at me with those big blue eyes and just with this love. And she'd say, oh, I'm so glad you're with me and here with me. And thank you for being here. And I would just melt. Yeah. So we had a good summer. You know, we watched the birds together. We sang songs together. We took drives in the country together. You know, I took care of her and fixed meals and took care of their garden. And yeah. When things got bad, I just went back to, I need to do nothing. I don't need to believe my thoughts. I don't need to react to my thoughts. I just need to let them be. And I was able to really do that and just sit in the stillness and allow it. And then it would just go away into nothingness.
It's beautiful. I love the part about, you really, really portrayed what a little willingness can bring. You know, and in the course, there's the line about, you know, just needing a little willingness, and angels rush in, and that part of you that shifted to, I don't want to do this, I can't do this, no thank you, to, oh, maybe I can see this differently, and having the little bit of willingness to go there, and the gift you were given, and the gift you gave, it's huge.
Yeah. And you know, it wasn't, this all happened. And I knew that when I had to leave, I didn't want to leave, you know, and the guilt was gone. And I felt so much freer. And then it allowed that her and her husband to be freer, and the love that was there. And it was just, I didn't want to leave. I felt so peaceful there. Ooh. And that was so opposite of what I had experienced for 59 years. Yeah. And I realized as it all was happening, it was just happening. It was grace. It wasn't something I was making happen. It wasn't like, oh, I need to practice this, or I need to do this. There was none of that. It was just all happening. And it wasn't until later when I realized what happened And I started to reflect on it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what happened. And, you know, then I could put it into the framework of A Course in Miracles. And that's when I came up with the holiest spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. I mean, that was very clear that, you know, this ancient hatred towards my mother and myself, which was to myself, you know, I'd become a present love. And when I could love myself and forgive myself for hating myself for all those years, then the love could be seen. All the need to separate from my mother and not be like her was gone. It just all fell away. And now I just see I am my mother. And I love her and I love myself. And then the love can, when I go there now, that's all I see. And the relationship, you know, I can hug her and love her and do things for her and not be resentful or hateful. And she can act however she acts. And all I need to do is love her and she melts. She just melts. Mm. And so that's my experience. And every time I go there, it's like, okay, I'm going to test it out again, you know, and it's like, no, there's no guilt here. There's no hatred here. There's no fear here anymore.
It's beautiful. And when, you know, you said even in the first forgiveness story that you didn't really get to the point that this never happened at all. But you may, in both of these stories, it's maybe that you didn't get to the depth of the realization that this is an illusion and a dream and none of it happened. You did get to the core of it, which is none of this happened because it all disappeared.
Yeah.
It just dissolved. So it was meaningless whether you thought it happened or didn't happen. It was all gone. And love became present again.
Yeah.
For you.
And now, you know, looking back, it's like, oh, you know, I was reinforcing this feeling of unworthiness, you know, taking this, how my mom was acting personally and blaming her for all my feelings of not feeling good enough and putting up a big wall of anger and guilt and shame and blame my whole life. Now I can see that those thoughts have just been reinforced and reinforced and reinforced and became very, very real. And so every time I was with her, that's what happened. You know, it'd be nice for a bit, but it, you know, eventually she'd do something and like, oh, there she is again. She's doing it again. You know, I can't be with her. She's just, you know, this awful person. And then I react and then we have this argument. Yeah.
Yeah. And how did this affect your relationship with your own children?
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, when I became a parent, my whole thing was, I'm not going to be like my mother. I would do everything possible to not be like my mother. So I was very aware of how I didn't want to be like my mother. And so I had to really challenge a lot of my thoughts about things. And it's been a really beautiful, they have been my teachers. Of letting go a way thinking I know anything at all, you know, and because each one of them is different. And I've had some huge opportunities to let go of things with them. They've taught me a lot. But now that from the summer, I feel like I'm more myself and more authentic and more just relaxed. And I think that I haven't really talked to them about this, but I'm pretty sure that they notice. I haven't really seen, you know, because I've always been aware of. I think it's going to open things up a little bit more with them. I haven't thought about that. It's a good question.
Mm-hmm. It's usually it goes across generations, like it goes all the way back, the healing, you know, mm-hmm. to ancestors, and then all the way forward.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice to think.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, yeah. Those are excellent forgiveness stories. Very helpful, very relatable. So thank you for sharing those.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask, when you get caught in an ego storm and it just, you know, all this forgiveness training just goes out the window, it feels very, very real. There's everything coming up. And what do you do to get back on track? Is there anything practical you do that's got you find helpful to get back on track?
Well, I have a mantra right now that I use. And it's like, I need do nothing. Which is a stepping back and saying, okay, I don't need to believe my thoughts. I don't need to think. I don't need to act. I just need to observe. And 'cause I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And if it's something that's really, you know, that keeps coming up, like something just recently with my husband that kept coming up, just little stuff like him being upset about the towel always getting taken from the kitchen. And he always goes in and there's no towel. And so just little things like that. And then so, I belong to, I'm a minister at an organization called Awakening Together. Mm-hmm. And the president minister, Regina Don Akers, has all kinds of wonderful things for that we practice. And one of the things is called root cause analysis. And it's basically... I'm not upset for the reason I think. And so you have a story about why you're upset, but then you realize, oh, it, you know, if I was totally healed, this wouldn't upset me. And so there's a belief somewhere that I'm believing that's causing me to be upset. It's not my husband getting upset at me about the towel. It's the fact that he's pushing on that button that I'm doing something wrong and that I'm bad. Mm-hmm. So I go back and you know, and realize, oh, it's something that I'm believing. It's not something that's going on the outside world. Yep. So that's a really good way of, you know, refocusing. It's all going inside of me. It has nothing to do with the outside world.
Yeah.
So we have lots of wonderful practices and support through the organization. It's an online church, non-dual church, I guess, where we study the Course in Miracles is one of them. I mean, it's a very big part of it.
That's great. One question we like to ask here, you know, before I go forward, that you mentioned your mantra is I need to do nothing. And in chapter 18 of the text, section 7, there's this one little part that I always try to remember because it says this will save you centuries if you get this right. And this, the section is, I need do nothing. It says, to do anything involves the body. If you recognize you need do nothing, you have withdrawn the body's value from your mind. Here is the quick and open door through which you slip past centuries of effort and escape from time. This is the way in which sin loses all attraction right now. When I hear that centuries of effort, holy cow, I tune in, because it's like, what's being said here? It's like, hey, the what's happening on the screen with the puppets, you know, it seems like it's so important, but if you can step back and remember the projector and the mind and go back to the holy instant, and that what's happening with the puppets is not so important as it seems. And I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I, you know, who doesn't want to save centuries of effort?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because what we do when we react to the ego and all the its thoughts, we make it real.
Yeah.
And, you know, by judgment, by judging it or thinking about it or whatever, we make it real.
Yeah.
And we make it stronger. We cement it. It feels like it's like, I'm just going to add some cement into this and it's going to be real. And so step back and do nothing.
The ego hates that. Do nothing.
Yeah. I laugh when you talk about the cement, because my grandfather was a very social man. And when my grandmother would say, why are you going out again tonight? He would always say, I'm going to cement relations. And I always thought that maybe he was part of the mafia, like some Jewish mafia that he was part of, and cementing people and throwing them into some, you know, pond. But but it metaphorically, when we bring cement in, we concretize what we're thinking in concrete. You know, it is very much like that. And a way to loosen it, loosen the narrative, is really important for this practice.
Yeah. And then you see that, you know, like with my mother, it was all just a bundle of thoughts that I'd been carrying around and reinforcing and reinforcing and reinforcing. So it felt very, very real. No. But when I could step back and observe it, it was like, oh my God, it's just not even there. And then the love, then, you know, all this stuff in the Course in Miracles comes flooding in, you know, all the stuff that I'd been learning is like, oh my God, no wonder I couldn't see her. I couldn't see my husband with all this crap in the way. And then it just disappears because you don't believe it anymore. And then what all that's left is the love that was there in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, we have a question we ask just for fun. What is your favorite comfort food?
I've been thinking about that. It's kind of a weird, well, it's not, it's a good, you know, most people would come up, oh, it's this. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, of course, over the years it's changed. Right.
Yeah.
And right now it's just an omelet with, spinach and, Swiss cheese. It's my favorite.
Mm.
Interesting.
So it's kind of a, I mean, you know.
No, nothing's weird. How often do you indulge in those? Often? Is it a daily thing?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Almost daily.
Yeah. That cheese really is a nice additive though. Get that fat in there. That's great.
Yeah. Something about that, combination just feeds me.
Nice. Well, Michelle, is there any place we can point listeners to if you want to connect with them, or if they want to learn more about you? Or you mentioned, you know, this, your reverend, is there any place you want them to go to connect? Yeah.
So I think Through Awakening Together would be great.
And where can they find that?
It's online. It's awakening-together.org. Okay. And they also have a YouTube, and there's a I think it was November 19th. It's up on the YouTube, is the talk that I gave about this. And it goes a little bit further into it. I'm going to be starting a year-long study of the lessons of the Course in Miracles. It's called Gentle Healing. And we go through all the lessons and other readings that support it from the Course and other sources. Okay. And we heal. It's a once a week online Zoom meeting. And it's also, they also have a radio that's broadcast. So you don't have to be in the Zoom meeting, and it's recorded and left on the website. So if you want to see me, join me there. I'll be there for the next year, every Wednesday night, 6:30 Pacific time.
Okay. Awakening together. Well, Michelle, thanks so much for coming on Miracle Voices and sharing your miracle voice. We really appreciate it. Happy holidays to you, and hope we can connect again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening today. Please subscribe to Miracle Voices by hitting the subscribe button on your podcast app. If you are enjoying these conversations, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you use. And lastly, please visit us at miraclevoices.org and join our newsletter so we can stay connected. Until the next podcast, I want to leave you with my favorite Course quote: "When you want only love, you will see nothing else."